Hey everybody, and welcome to Indie Film Cafe. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and I'm here with
Paul A. Presenza, known as the Moo Cow Moo.
And I'm also with
Jess Chen.
Alright, and we're going to be talking about Airborne.
Yay!
Oh my goodness. It is, man wasn't meant to fly, but kids were.
Oh yeah.
we're going to have a good time tonight, so get ready for an awesome show. But before then, let's listen to some Mood music. Welcome back, and we're going to be talking about Airborne. Not Air Bud, but Airborne. Now, to go into kind of like the background of the movie, it was made in 1993, maybe shot in 92, I don't know. It was definitely 90s, for sure, and we're going to get into that later. It is only released right now, like, through a Warner Archives, so the Warner Archive Collection, for, I think, like, 10 to 20 bucks in that range. It is a really goofy, fun movie. So, directed by Rob Bowman, the guy who did, like, he directed episodes X-Files. Did he do the X-Files movies?
Yeah. He did the first X-Files movie. He did Next Generation. He did Elektra.
Did he do Elektra?
He did Elektra.
Oh,
Reign of Fire.
Wow.
Yeah, he did a number of things.
Yeah, a number of bad things. But, you know, still they look good. You know, this movie did not look good. We'll get to that also. So let's go into the story. The story was, here's what it says on the back of the box. The way surfer dude Mitchell Goosen sees it, there are two kinds of people, those who surf and those who don't. So when Mitch, which he's never called ever, Shane McDermott, relocates from Surfside, California to wintry landlocked Cincinnati, there's just one thing he can do, put on skates and get airborne. Mitch's skates and principles are put to the test in this styling comedy, co-starring Seth Green from Austin Powers and Family Guy series, and Brittany Powell, members of Team Rollerblade at awesome inline skating stunts. And the soundtrack is filled with hot soundtracks by Ugly Kid Joe, Jeremy Jordan, Steve Miller Band, and Right Said Fred. Oh my goodness.
Oh, God.
To air isn't just human, dudes. It's necessary. Get airborne. Mitchell became the most popular guy on Earth once he took to the sky. All right, so that was basically the story of it, and kind of a little bit of a nutshell. And we'll get more into the actual story soon, but let's talk about the characters.
Right.
So there's Mitch, played by Shane McDermott.
Mitchell Goosen.
Yep.
He is a surfer dude, a super bra.
Surfer bra.
Who loves, I don't know, he doesn't really, he has these philosophies, but he doesn't have, like, any specific style or anything.
Yeah, it's like that fake California sun and beach bum philosophy, you know.
Right.
Fake Zen sort of thing.
Fake Zen. There you go. He's like a fake Mr. Miyagi, like a surfer Mr. Miyagi trying to be a wannabe. But so then when he moves to, then his parents tell him he has to move to, for 3 months, he's got to stay in Cincinnati while they're in Australia.
No, 6 months.
6 months?
Yeah, 6 months.
Because that was too long for him to miss school.
Oh, okay.
Because he actually was excited about going to Australia.
Right, he's a 16-year-old kid, and he's in high school, and they have to go to Australia, and they don't want to leave him. And I guess they can't trust him to just go to school by himself, so they ship him off to his aunt and uncle in Cincinnati and meet up his cousin that he hasn't seen with since they were all in diapers. And it's supposed to be a big culture shock, fish out of water thing, because he's a California surfer dude, and he's going to, I love the description, this northern, wintry, landlocked city of Cincinnati, like, you know, like he's going north of the wall against the wildlings or something. It's really weird.
It is pretty weird. So anyways, then he meets Wiley, and Wiley is played by Seth Green. And
yay.
If you wanted a movie where Seth Green is pretty much the sidekick character, which he is in a lot of movies.
Yeah.
Back in the 90s especially. This is the movie for you, because he's not the lead, which I don't think he's ever really the lead in much.
Which anyway. Is a shame.
Which he should be. I know he just directed something, so and he's the lead in that, I believe. So awesome. But yeah, his name's Wiley, and he's just kind of that just fits him. He's a weird guy. He doesn't have a specific style or look, or he has a lot of looks.
Right. You know? He's changing all the time. I think before we talked about, he's something of a chameleon. His look seems to change hourly. Certainly it changes by the day. He's very unsure of himself. And so his looks keep changing. And I think, like I said, at one point he almost comes off as kind of androgynous, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but, you know, for a 16-year-old kid who doesn't really quite know who he is, it could be problematic.
Yeah. He's the kid that everyone knows in high school that doesn't quite fit in, but is trying.
So
he wants
hard.
To fit in.
Really
he
hard.
Tries to be cool, and you just shake your head because it doesn't work.
Right, yeah. Right.
Point
nice
effort.
Try, kid. Nice try, Seth. And I don't think that was really his fault. Like, I think that was a lot to do with the writing.
Right.
And stuff.
I thought that character was actually done pretty well.
He was.
You know people like that. They try overly hard.
Well, look at his room. His room is filled with everything.
Right.
You know, there's, like, not one specific thing. It's filled with, like, a ton of different things. So,
Right, it just goes to his whole chameleon aspect where, you know, whatever he feels he wants to be at the moment, he can sort of morph himself into it.
Yeah. And then there's Brittany Powell, who plays Nikki. And she kind of shows up 30 minutes in or so, and she's okay of a character.
She's the love interest.
She's the love interest, but her character's kind of,
I don't know. Much to her.
Yeah. But she's like the grounded person in the film, the only one really who's sort of there and to represent just a normal person, because all the other people are just they're just flat out nuts.
I won't lie though, I did have a crush on her when I first saw the movie when I was a kid. You know, I thought she was a cute girl and everything, and so
well, that's her job is to be a cute girl professionally.
Yeah, it's true. So yeah, she did a great. I thought she did a good job. I mean, she's you know, playing her strengths. Then I guess next we will talk about Jack, right? So Jack is played by Chris Conrad, who I don't know if he's ever been in anything else or not.
He's Kike villain number one, right?
Yeah, he's the brother, you know, guy, which we find out later.
Nikki's brother.
Right.
Nikki's brother. Who,
love interest's brother.
Yeah, we'll get into that in a little bit. But it was kind of like that was just a random thing to find out halfway, you know, like or more than halfway through the story. And then, let's see, there's Jack Black plays this character named Augie, and Augie's pretty funny. I mean,
he's the jock's sidekick.
Yeah.
Right.
Jack's sidekick, which is really weird, because every time they say Jack, Jack Black's character is right there, and he
right.
had the wrong person.
All right. Like, it would have been, it kind of confused me a little bit, because even Jack Black says Jack, you know, right? And I'm like, are you talking about yourself? Or something.
Probably confused him, too.
Yeah. He's like, wait, I'm Jack.
Honestly, he kind of goes a little overboard with some of his reactions. Like, I know he's supposed to be the support villain, but, you know, his reactions a lot of times to Mitchell just kind of goes off a little bit. Too much.
Oh, he does that a lot. Like, there was, like, one point where he was just, like, laughing hysterically at stuff that's just really not that funny, but it's over the top.
Right, and he doesn't just laugh, he just spazzes out. It's just
right.
unnecessary.
Yeah, but that I think that's Jack Black anyway. That was like who he was in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
You see a lot of that. You saw a lot of that.
Jack Spaz.
Yeah, he spazzed out a lot. So let's see. Then there was, Edie McClurg, who plays Aunt Irene. And you would know her from Ferris Bueller's Day Off as the principal's assistant. She's also in, like, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. as like,
she's great.
Yeah, she's in a million things.
She's been in a ton of like movies. I mean, if you haven't seen her, like if you don't know her by name, you will know her if you see her.
She's always somebody's weird mom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or something like that. Yeah, and so she was great. And then there's Patrick Thomas O'Brien, who is Uncle Louie. I liked Uncle Louie because Patrick Thomas O'Brien was, in Saved by the Bell. He was like Mr. Dewey. And he was always kind of the funny guy, funny teacher that was just kind of like the wimp teacher who taught like math class or something, you know, mm-hmm. or whatever. And, always made like jokes about working out when you know he doesn't do that. You know, things like that.
Because even back in the 90s, it was always the equation of nerds equals math.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that was the thing. But this guy, this character drives a Zamboni.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And he even got an award for being the best Zamboni driver.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Even though I do not believe for a second there is a single Zamboni in the city of Cincinnati. I'm just not buying it.
I'm surprised there's an award for greatest Zamboni driver, but whatever.
Well, and that's why he, you know, at one point I was thinking, you know, Mitchell should have taken the girl and made out with her on the Zamboni. Would have been a great scene, and he could have gotten a Zamboner.
Oh, that deserves a groan. All right, so next is Alana Ubach, who plays Gloria. She shows up as, Seth Green's date.
Right.
She's
Nikki's friend.
Nikki's friend.
When they decide to do a double
her
date.
Wingman, so to speak.
Yeah. Wingwoman.
She isn't very excited about this date.
At all.
Which you can't really blame her, considering Wiley at this point.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, sure. Wiley's a nice guy, and you kind of feel sorry for Wiley a lot throughout it, because he kind of gets treated badly.
You know, he finally shows a little something later.
Yeah.
Right. And so, yeah, she was great. We were talking about how we noticed her and stuff. Like, we could tell by her voice and by, like, her look and everything. And Jen was the one who kind of pointed that out, right?
Like, yeah. I recognized her from somewhere. You know, she just had a certain look that, I don't know. I just, her voice, I couldn't place it, and we looked up, and she's been in quite a few movies.
Ones that, especially ones that Mukau over here doesn't enjoy.
No,
she's a redhead.
Chick flicks. I do like the redhead part. There are a lot of redheads in this. I'm not going to lie.
There was a lot of redheads. Now, the characters that we didn't talk about because we don't know their names at all or anything. There was two girls. One might have been mentioned her name. Or she might have just went up to the class. But they're in the speech class, and there's these two girls. One's the, the girlfriend of Jack, the bully. And then the other one's this redhead girl who happens to be, I guess, the friend of the girlfriend.
Blonde Nimrod and redhead Nimrod.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're in the scene. They're in the show for what, like, I guess, in the movie for...
They're like the first... quarter of the film, first third of it.
Maybe 30 minutes of it. Because, like, after that, after they get him into some trouble, they're never seen again.
No, after the whole scene with the hockey scene, basically.
Mm-hmm. All right, so...
They vanish. Poof. Like, they never existed. They performed their function, and once their function was done, they're gone.
All right, so we'll go into some more deeper, because those are all the characters, pretty much. Let's go into more deeper, like, kind of story, like, what happens exactly, because there are a lot of scenes that that happen that are really awesome, you know, like, kind of, like, for as bad of a B-movie as this is, you know, it's definitely not an A-movie,
no,
by any means, but,
although it is a movie, it's just not an A-movie.
Right, it's not A, don't confuse me. All right, so we're going to talk about, like, basically, okay, so there's a hockey game, and there's all the characters, like all the jocks play hockey. And I don't ever call Jack Black a jock ever in my life.
I don't know that I'd ever call Cincinnati a hockey town, but still.
Right? This movie, like, lives in a parallel, like, universe.
It does.
Well, it's the teen universe, because... you know.
Anything can happen. And there's almost no adults.
No, and they never get punished for the pranks, and they don't get arrested.
Oh, the teacher who is the writer of the film, the teacher in the speech class, kind of, it almost seems like, even though he's not actually saying, you know, this is appropriate or whatever, he's condoning all these actions that these people do. There's a scene in the speech class where the jock walks up and says, or Jack the jock, walks up and he says, you know, can I, you know, interrupt and say something? And I'm like thinking, what? Like, what teacher would allow him to just get up there and you know,
kind of
make
threaten
fun?
Him.
Yeah, and he pretty much, like, you know, it was like, you think surfing is a sport? It's not, you know, blah, 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 blah. So it was just like, what is the point?
Like badminton and chess.
Right, yeah. Right.
It's like badminton and chess.
He just takes over the class, and the teacher just stands there because he's got nothing else better to do than to be a teacher in the speech class who can't think beyond that. It's just, he's just a worthless adult.
He never even, like, welcomes Mitchell to the class. Like, even at the end of the class, like, generally the teacher will walk up. If you've ever been in high school, everyone that wherever there's a new kid, you know, generally people are aware that they're going to have a new student, by the way. And I really like the fact that in this, there's this particular scene where he walks in and he does the speech class. He walks in and, this is my cousin, Mitchell. He's going to be joining your class. Like, don't teachers normally know this stuff? Like, you know, but apparently this teacher didn't and didn't care. He's like, okay.
And by the way, speech class, I went to high school. I don't remember a speech class. Maybe there was a debate club, but I've never heard of a speech class.
There was,
we had a
speech
could have
class.
Been, this could have been math or social studies or anything.
Well, it was a speech. We've had speech classes in my high school.
Had a drama class.
But I never took it, so I don't really know if this is how speech classes work. Is just people just randomly walk up and talk about themselves the whole time. Like, and is this supposed to be the first day of the class? Like, they're all introducing themselves.
It's just weird. Like, what would you need? I mean, you need math. You need sort of history and stuff. What do you need speech for?
It's offered as an elective in several schools. And I think it was Snake made a comment that he didn't choose this class. So maybe it was the elective that you just, like, art you throw people in that didn't want anything else.
Right.
Sort of the limp basket of school classes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yes.
I agree.
Poor art teachers.
Yeah.
You get the students that are passionate about art, and then you get the ones that have nothing better to do.
Right. It's pretty much just detention.
Yep. Anyways.
All right. So, yeah. So
back
this
to the story.
This class. And then so they're like a man or two men short for this hockey
game.
They leave the class.
And then they find out two of their hockey buddies got detention for doing a prank. The only people who do get detention for pranks.
Right.
Right.
So they're two people short on this team, and they snag Snake, who does not look like a sports guy.
No.
And they snag Wily for...
Because he played hockey, Nintendo hockey, I guess.
He does brag about playing hockey, so I guess that's what it is.
Yeah, so, no, actually, you know, I remember they picked him because, like, he looked over at Mitchell. You know, they're like, we need another person. So they look over at Mitchell, and then they look over at Wily, like, you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you know, okay, you're going to pick the guy you really don't know. And, you know, he's trying so hard not to... to do it. He makes up a reason, like going to the dentist, and does not want to do it. Then he kind of gets suckered into doing it, you know, because he does. I guess he wants to live, you know.
And
these guys are going to beat him up if he doesn't do it.
And this is the big game,
right? The big game.
Okay. The big game. They've never beat this team, and I can see why.
Right.
I mean, they're picking people.
And just so you understand, these guys are villain. The first group of villains, and they are now playing a second group of villains, the preppy villains. So you've got the non-preppy villains versus the preppy villains, and Wily and Mitchell are sort of caught up between them and get drafted into playing for the first group.
Let me reiterate the whole thing is saying, like, the non-preppy group and the preppy group are both preppies.
Right.
Like, these are not jocks. These are preppy guys that are pretending to be jocks.
Right. It's like there's this whole high school Americana caste system that the writer feels like it has to introduce and put in this movie, you know, to be, mm-hmm. you know, to be true to the way, you know, real high schools, quote unquote, are, even though that's not necessarily the case.
Right. So anyway, they get, we see the big hockey game and, of course, really Mitchell's in the,
what? Not really that big.
Not right. Really. Not big at all. But the hockey game that's supposed to be like the hockey game to end all hockey games or something, you know, mm-hmm. this is it. We've never beaten this team. We've got two guys who, as far as we know, have never played. You know, or whatever. I don't know if Snake's ever played. He seems to be really good at it.
Yeah, that's what's sad.
Like, it seems like, did he miss the tryouts before or something? And, you know, or did they not trust him because he apparently eats his young, is what they said?
Yeah, and not to be like somebody who judges on appearances, but they present Snake as kind of this sort of, you know, Latino gang member guy named Snake. So you're not really thinking hockey when you see him at
and
all.
And the way that he dresses is, you know, the dark clothing, the very much put me in, like, the same mind. And then he volunteered.
He volunteered, yeah.
Yeah,
he was the first one. He was like, I'll play.
Okay. Apparently he plays good in this game.
There you go.
I mean, I couldn't tell him from anybody else.
And roller skates, as we come to find out.
Yeah. But anyway, so, like, yeah, he becomes, like, basically another member of the preppies because, like,
pretty much.
Or whatever. They're not preppies, but the jocks. You know, we're going to have to call them the jocks, I guess, because that's what they supposedly are, but they're all preppies.
That makes Jack Black a jock, which is very strange.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that'll,
well, you always have the jokester jock. That's the tag along for all the groups. You look at all the movies that have jocks, you have the one that's the jokester.
Right.
Yep. So, and to get back to the preppies, they're playing, and they have a jokester guy who laughs like a hyena all the time. And I love the guy. I love his laugh. I'm just like, you know what? If I was hanging out with this guy, I'd be okay with him laughing like that all the time. You know, like, he's got a funny, like, laugh. So it was cool.
He's
so,
like, that weird thing that hangs out with Jabba the Hutt and makes that weird laugh afterwards.
Yep. And what are you trying to say about Jack? You know, the character.
Yeah, he's Jack of the Hutt.
Yeah. So anyway, moving on. There was let's see, who else? What else? So they're playing hockey and
this is where he meets Nikki.
Right.
This is where he meets Nikki in the stands and tells her his philosophy on life, which we get bored with. And
I totally didn't hear it at all.
Right.
Apparently, my DVD didn't like it either.
Skipped ahead a few times.
A lot as well.
Yes, that's the perfect explanation for it. They're like, you guys don't really.
It rebuked this movie.
It's like we're done. So I mean, and this was a new DVD and with no scratches. This is insane, like haunted kind of like, dude. You don't need to see this.
I mean, it played Roller Gator, so perfectly. It was perfectly fine with what Roller Gator was saying, but it wasn't going to do this speech by Mitchell. Just wasn't going to play it.
No. So anyway, Mitchell does the speech, and they end up. I guess they start liking each other a little bit. You know, having a little bit of chemistry going, and then Wiley gets hurt, and. And poor Wiley, right?
Well, because he's an idiot. He just stands there. He's like, says that he knows hockey. The puck comes right up to him next to his feet, and he just looks at it. I don't even think he had a stick. He just stood there, and then they just plow him under.
Yeah.
And so they have to find somebody to put in there. So, hey, Surfer, it's your turn.
Yep.
So the one villain group gets him to join them so that they can now play against the other villain
group. Also kind of making fun of him while he's playing,
you
know? Oh,
for God's sake, it's awful.
Right? Like, it's like, okay, you asked him to play, like, whatever.
Everybody in this film is a complete jerk.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
So they end up playing hockey with Mitchell, and Mitchell shoots the puck into the wrong goal. Now, I can understand, like, getting people mixed up a little bit, but, you know, like, you're watching the game before the thing. You should know which team
well,
is.
He was flirting with Nikki before the game.
Right, really so that part I can understand.
It.
All right, well, he ends up shooting the wrong goal, not paying attention. I don't
he
know
celebrates.
What. He's all excited. He thought he got the right goal, and Jack Black yells at him, like, yeah, overreacting, yelling at him, and like, that's just great, you know, and
I'm
going
to kill you right now.
Yeah, so so now he is everybody's, like, worst enemy, like, everybody hates this guy even more,
this
you know.
I know, it's not like they didn't hate him already, they already did.
Yeah.
He existed, they hated him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was just breathing, they hated him.
Yep.
So anyway.
Now all the pranks begin.
Yes.
Oh, so yeah. They get to school, and Wiley's all worried that that they're going to attack and everything. And they act all cool. And he's like, all right, cool. So he goes and sits down at a chair in one of the classes, and it breaks. Because they set it up for him to break. It was
and
a prank.
And they somehow knew exactly which chair he was going to sit in.
Now, I can understand that, like, that the whole place was packed, and they had it all packed, and they're like, okay, don't sit here, you know what I mean?
Or
like,
assigned seats.
Or assigned seats, yeah. Where we'd have to be aware of that beforehand. No, he sits down, and it breaks. And I'm just like, okay, that.
And you notice it's the very first seat that's in front next to the desk, and the reason that one's the one is because they're being shot through the doorway, so that's the one that's framed. That's pretty much the only reason why he sits there. And
I mean,
that's,
they could have had him sit in the back.
They could have, but they didn't.
You know, whatever they could have done, they could have shot it differently. But it didn't matter. All that matters is it breaks and he falls down, and we're like, and we groan because who freaking knew that he was going
to
sit there?
Right. And another time, he's about to go up the stairs, which is a pretty wide stair, and they throw water, and I guess they've been sitting there for hours waiting for him to come by. And they dump this just huge amount of water on top of him, and that's like, okay, now he's wet. Yay.
They put glue on Wiley's locker, and he gets stuck to the locker.
Right.
They also take his clothes when he's taking a shower. Who takes a shower at school like that? You know, like all by himself? You know what I mean? Like, that's just weird. But anyway, they take his clothes, and then he finds some clothes. He's walking around in some. And then he finds
lost and found clothes,
I guess, or something. But he's walking around
really
in
explain
the
it.
The shoes.
Really
the shoes are all wet, and he's walking down.
Well, because they took his towel too.
Right,
they took his towel too.
Yeah.
So he ends up, and the last straw, I guess, of the whole thing was he's taking a dump inside the school, you know, and all of a sudden. They bring water, and they dump the water in every single one just in case they get the right one, I guess. They couldn't look under and see which, you know, like...
Well, they didn't have to because for some stupid reason, all the toilet paper is suspended over the stall for each one. Why would you do that? So they pour water on all the toilet paper so you can't use the toilet paper. But why would the toilet paper be sort of next to the toilet down where you're using it? I don't understand that. That just made no sense to me. I've never heard that.
You never seen that?
Never seen that.
Never, neither have
I. I mean, I guess they do it because they think people are going to steal it, but I mean, come on. It's like a 20-cent roll of toilet paper. Big deal.
Well, it's also not showing that this is like a bad neighborhood that you have to do something like that because people are going to run off with toilet
like,
paper.
Yeah, who's going to run off with... You know,
oh,
I mean, I guess maybe they think it's pranks.
People steal toilet paper from a lot of places. Mm-hmm.
Even the school with all the preps, quote unquote.
Hey, if they did have Snake.
Yeah, that's true.
He becomes a prep, but he's not really, doesn't look like one of them.
It's just very odd.
Yeah, the whole movie's odd. So he's kind of just tired of it all, and he doesn't understand what's going on, and he ends up just sitting down in his uncle and aunt's house, and his uncle and aunt, you know, or his aunt sees him, and is about to call 911, thinking he's on drugs.
He just freaks out.
What? He's not even like passed out or anything.
I thought you were on drugs.
And then she slaps him and says that he gave her husband, who she calls father.
Oh, creepy.
Yeah, it's really creepy. A scare and everything. And I'm like thinking, like, she's just a wacky lady, you know? Yeah. Like,
bro, what's ass. Your problem, bro?
She's yeah. cool. But then this is where he gets the package from in the mail.
Right.
Apparently,
he
brought his surfboard.
Yeah.
But he forgot what?
The skates.
Rollerblades.
His rollerblades.
He forgot his rollerblades. He brought his surfboard to Cincinnati, but forgot his rollerblades. Yeah, that totally makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So he forgot them. Somehow they got magically sent to him. His parents sent it to him. Now, this has been going on for maybe 2 or 3 weeks, and I guess they haven't left yet. But if they haven't left yet, then why did they send him here?
It doesn't explain it. It could have been a house sitter. Or it could have been
I still think it's the dog.
He thinks it's a dog matter. That they had Air Bud sent it.
Because they trust the dog to take care of himself, but not their 16-year-old son.
Well, apparently.
Well, he's a surfer guy. He wouldn't go to school. He'd be on the beach the entire day.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
he would. Legitimate concern from parents.
I don't think he went to school, period, in this whole thing. Like, that wasn't a normal school. But anyway, so he ends up rollerblading and having a good time and showing off a little bit.
Some other people.
No, that's later, I think, right?
I think this is when every kid in the neighborhood joins him.
Yeah, he goes out rollerblading and he finds a half pipe.
No. That's after he sees Brittany Powell. Because he sees Brittany Powell walking around and he trips and falls and
they go to the Arboretum.
They go to the Arboretum and they end up, he ends up skating in there. And he knows every single flower in the world.
Yep.
And then he ends up, he ends up going, She ends up asking him out.
Yeah, she ends up asking him out, but he's going to do something with Wiley. And she's like, oh, don't worry, I have a friend.
I have a random friend who I can...
do double date.
Whom she doesn't name at the time, but don't they figure it out later?
Yep.
Somehow.
Somehow Wiley knows.
It's a continuity error!
They don't explain that. Maybe those are, you know, like the two best friends are always hanging out together.
Okay, then. I have something about that.
Okay.
If that is true, and she knows Gloria is her best friend, mm-hmm. how does he not know that Jack is his sister?
Yeah, nobody seems to know.
I don't know.
Yeah, how does he know Gloria? Yeah,
I guess because Wiley's kind of a dumbass.
Yeah.
So he would know the girl, but he wouldn't know the girl.
I might buy that.
But, you know, I still don't buy it, I think.
I don't buy it either.
It's just bad writing.
It's lazy writing is what it is.
Yeah, bad writing.
And they don't care because this is marketed to teenagers, and teenagers aren't going to put much thought into it in theory.
Oh, I didn't. Oh, I know when I watch it, I was not thinking about any of these things.
No, none of this stuff really matters. The whole point of the movie is the last 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's all you want. I think I skipped a lot. Like, I probably had this on Betamax, and I would skip it all the way to the
end. Oh, God, Betamax.
Oh, yeah. This is maybe VHS, but I know I didn't have a DVD of this because it didn't come out until sort of semi-recently on DVD. So let's see. So then he gets really excited because he's got a date with the girl that he's madly in love with or whatever already. And he
sort of, kind of.
Oh, yes, yeah. Sort of, kind of.
Cute girl. And
because remember, he's going back to California at the end of 3 months and he knows this. So in the end, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
High school. It never matters.
Never matters. But anyway, so he ends up skating and then everybody in the world comes out to skate with him, or skateboard and bicycle and rollerblade. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty cool. Not gonna lie. Like, it was neat. It was weird, you know, like who all of a sudden skates and then people go, hey, let's just go follow this guy.
I thought it was done in a very childish way, like a kid's movie. Right. Oh, we're all gonna follow. Where, I mean, it is if you're into something, like if you grab a basketball and go to a random basketball court, there's going to be other people there playing, and they'll, hey, you want to join us? And you don't even know each other's name. So mm-hmm. he could have gone and found a half pipe, like, hey, I'm going to come and skate with you guys, and it would have made sense. But this, like, picking up people along the way, you know, here's three skateboarders, and we're going to get some cyclists.
And it's all done in a very 80s montage kind of way yeah. with music in the background, and it's all meant to sort of draw in kids and make Mitchell look really super cool.
Right. Yeah.
Well, he does the stunts, because right. there's one or two scenes where everyone is going and doing...
Right, and because he could actually do all the stunts and do all the skating, which is the reason why he was in the movie in the first place.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that's the only reason, but we've talked about that before. So then they end up going into, you know, he tells Wiley, I've got you a girl, you know, to go on a date with.
He nearly has a fit.
He's all worried. He's scared. He doesn't know what to do. What's he going to dress? How's he going to dress?
Yeah.
And we get another montage, but it's one of those teen girl montages where the girls try on the different clothes.
I don't know what to wear.
You know.
So I wear everything, and we'll try and figure out which one's the best, and they're all ridiculous.
They're all ridiculous. I mean, one was a motorcycle helmet.
Actions are ridiculous.
Now, you like the bunny
slippers. I like the bunny slippers thing. But, yeah, and meanwhile, while Seth Green is doing this whole thing, and he's really hamming it up and making it fun, meanwhile, Mitchell's laughing hysterically, laughing his rear end off. It's really not that funny. No. It's really not.
Especially not as two guys.
No, it's awkward.
It's very, yeah.
And, like, I don't know.
Like
what
they're going on a date together or something.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, at the end of all of this, you know, he didn't pick anything out. Mitchell tells him this whole philosophical Popeye monologue or whatever about how Popeye is what he is, you know, or, you know.
Be like Popeye.
Yep.
And stuff like that. One of my favorite lines in that is, like, did Popeye ever, or did olive oil ever care about whatever to get him in the sack? I don't know, something like that. Some stupid line about that. It was sort of funny, but sort of like, you know, eye rolling.
Kind of revolting, because I'm really trying not to have a visual idea of Popeye and olive oil in the sack. It's really kind of gross, especially if there's spinach involved. It's just yuck.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway,
let's turn away from that.
They go into, they go to Gloria's house, and of course he's just, you know, Seth's just dressed as his character. You know, he is what he is and stuff. He's trying to be himself.
He's also showing off because he can drive now.
Oh, that's right.
And the thing is that that whole scene where he's trying all this different stuff was for naught. Didn't need it.
Well, if you think about it, that's a lot of movies. They do that kind of stuff where they all of a sudden you don't see it again. Like, it didn't matter what the, you know. But anyway, so yeah, he can drive, and he's bragging about this twice. You know, like, and he can't drive. He can't drive well.
Yeah, he's trying to show off in front of the girl. Got to give him that. Mm-hmm. He's trying too hard. And it shows, and Gloria is not interested.
She's not impressed. She's not having it.
No, no. Nope. But you feel sorry for him, though, because you can tell that he's awkward, and he is trying, and you kind of want him to succeed because he's so awkward.
Right?
Better way to put it. You want to see Gloria fall for him just because he's putting forth effort, and at the same time, you want to say, buddy, take a deep breath. Just be yourself.
Unlike in reality, where the more you try, the worse it's going to work for you, because the women just can't stand you even more.
Right.
In the movies, that it gets you the girl in the end.
Right.
Well, not his trying. Did.
In real life, you get the restraining order.
But it was, so they go on a date. They go to the pier or something, and he's trying, and it doesn't work out. She's still not into him. And then they go to eat at a burger place that reminds me of every Saved by the Bell or whatever, where all the kids eat in this really hip, cool place, but there are no adults.
Not in a single adult in sight.
Not even like a waiter as an adult, you know?
They don't exist in this universe.
Yeah. all the teen movies. You have that teen hangout, which actually never existed in real life.
I've never been to one. No. You know?
The old movies, they still had the teen soda shop that the kids all went to, and the old TV shows and movies, and that didn't.
There was an adult there behind the soda shop, you know, behind.
Actually, even Saved by the Bell had. Had like the Max was, you know, or whatever was, mm-hmm. was one of the waiters, you know what I mean? So like it worked, but this doesn't, there's no adults whatsoever. It just feels really weird. Like, you know, oh, let's just get a bunch of kid extras and make it look like the cool high school hangout. And so they go over to, was it, the two girls go to the bathroom and you can tell that she's just not into, you know, whatever, him. And stuff. So they end up talking at, you know, hanging out. And guess who walks in?
Yeah, the second group of villains. The preppy villains.
The preps. The two prep guys. The
blonde guy. What was his name?
Blaine.
Blaine.
That is just the bad guy name.
It is. Right. I just want to punch him in the face just because of his name.
Yeah.
Blaine, and then there was... which might have been where Hey Stop Stabbing Me got Blaine from.
Could be.
They had the Blaine because I know Worm's a fan of Airborne. So I may have to ask him.
Who could blame him?
Oh, that was bad. All right. So afterwards, they basically try to take Gloria and dance with her and also dance with...
Wow, dance. They're threatening them, basically. Yeah. They're picking up the girls and manhandling them and pretending to dance. That's really what they're doing. They're being assholes.
Kind of like reminds me of like the 50s. Like, this kind of feels like a 50s
right,
scene.
Right.
You know, or something. Yeah. So, doesn't belong in a 90s movie, really. But, so anyway, he ends up, Wiley ends up trying something and not getting anywhere.
Right, he sticks up for her. He actually does something and then gets pushed against the wall and...
Slammed
against the wall. But he's doing more than Mitchell has done at this point. Mitchell's just been very, you know,
passive.
I don't want to get involved, blah, 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 blah.
Well, and he even says, like, well, I guess, so we find out all of a sudden the... Jock walks in, Jack.
The original villain,
and he's like, get your hands off my sister.
Surprise, Nikki's his sister.
Surprise.
It's a twist, but like, I'd seen it coming. These two guys, I don't think, knew.
No.
And then, on top of that, did it matter? No, like, you guys weren't like, okay. You know, like...
The fact is that Wiley, who's lived there all his life and knows all these people, didn't know. It's just weird and inconsistent.
Yeah. And it's not like he wasn't around when Jack and them were doing all the pranks on him. He wouldn't be like, hey, stay away. We can't go on a date with them. That's his sister. No.
Right.
Nope.
He would have mentioned it. It's just a continuity error.
There's a ton of those things. So, he goes up, you know, Jack says, you know... I'm going to take you home, and she's like, I'm here with, and she doesn't say his name, and you see Mitchell, and he's like, yeah, he's dating you, come on, let's go home, and he's like, yeah, man, I'm dating her, and the dude wants to, like, fight him, and yet he still doesn't stick up for anybody, and then on top of that, he says, it doesn't matter, I'm leaving in 3 months, he says something like, 3 months, so I don't care about you
anything.
Or anyone here. And after he says that, she gets all upset and leaves and with her brother. And Gloria has fallen sort of, I guess. I mean...
She gives him a peck on the cheek.
She gives Wiley a peck on the cheek because he was a nice guy and stuck up for her as opposed to this jerk who we're supposed to be rooting for. How are we supposed to be rooting for a character... Who's a complete jerk. Like,
there's no rooting for anybody in this film. That's
you know who I root for? I root for Snake.
I don't even root for Snake.
Sorry. Why?
Just because he's just... I don't like anybody. I don't like anybody in this film.
Like Wiley
is about the closest person I like.
I like Wiley.
That's mainly because of Seth Green.
Seth Green does such a good job.
Yes.
And this is like
really
early Seth Green. This is pre-Austin
Powers.
Seth
Green always does a good job. He's just one of those guys. And this, he really does well. He pretty much rescues this character. Yeah. And in a way rescues the film. Because the lead guy was okay. He's just kind of milquetoast. But Seth Green makes it interesting, and he does all the funny parts of it, too. So.
Yeah, he's the wacky sidekick.
But not too obnoxious. Not so much you want to...
He's not Jack Black, you know. In
it. Yeah, he doesn't
Jack
cross Black the line.
A little too wacky and stuff. And yeah, I guess there had to be that character a little bit, but it just a little over. So anyway, so let's go on to... after that, you know, they decide... he's trying to get back into like being with Nikki, and Nikki doesn't want anything to do with them. And, so he gets a dream. There's a dream about a, shark.
Yeah, I didn't get into that. I had no idea what was going on.
There was a dream. You don't see the dream at all. You just hear that he had one.
You see him. He has waves. There's like waves.
Yeah.
That's it.
It would have been cooler if there was a shark that talked to him, but
right.
That might have been a little bit too much.
Yeah.
Too much in the budget, probably.
Yeah, and it would have looked bad, I think.
Yeah,
like,
really
like I don't think back then they could have made that look good. But nowadays they could, maybe, but if they had good money.
I think telling the dream is better than
yeah.
Yeah,
and he goes into this whole weird symbolic thing about how Nikki is the wave, and Jack is the shark. And
talking shark named
Pepe.
Pepe.
That's
and
yeah, I didn't
Spanish.
Get that. But he's supposed to be the whole point of Jack is scaring him off so that he doesn't take this incredibly great wave that is a once in a lifetime wave. I don't know. It really makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Especially since he's still going to be leaving in 3 months.
Right.
Yeah.
Like him taking Nikki.
This is high school. All of that matters so much.
And the funny thing to me is this whole scene is played out in the middle of the night. He has this dream and he's waking up poor Wiley. And Wiley's in there in his pajamas, his cow pajamas, buttoned all the way up to the tippy top. Like he's a little kid, basically. It was just very strange.
Yeah. So they decide, okay, he's like, I still want to win her back. So he goes to they're playing hockey, like roller hockey,
mm-hmm.
not ice hockey, but roller hockey. And he knows like everybody's going to be there or something.
Of course they are.
And they're playing, and it's the preps versus the jocks.
Right. Villain
again.
Number one versus villain number two. Yet
again, and there's three times that this happens that it's like that. I guess they can't settle this, you know, or whatever. They bring him on again to, like, you know, humiliate him, I guess.
No,
and
he asked to join.
Yeah, he joins this time.
But, what's his name? Was it Jack Black or was it Snake or somebody says to Jack, bring him on because, you know, we can play with him, you know, or whatever. Like, they can, like, you know, teach him a lesson or something. I don't know, whatever. So Jack's like, sure, come on in. So they come in, and all of a sudden, like they're fighting each other, and the one.
Oh, it's hockey.
Right.
There's always fights going on.
Right, Blaine hits him and knocks him down.
Knocks him down, and he gets up, and he looks like he's going to do something. He doesn't do anything.
Everybody's cheering
he's
him
taunting
on.
Taunting him. Come on, hit me. Come on, hit me.
Yeah,
like
and
he's
just
disappointed because he's being the wuss.
Yeah, he's being the passive aggressive wuss. And. So then he gets this really creepy look. And
right.
He's like staring at something and he starts smiling. And I'm like going, is he like thinking of them naked or something? Like, what is going on?
Like all the girls were thinking of him naked earlier.
Yeah. that was a scene we forgot to mention that, but all right. But yeah, so he's like laughing about something or smiling about something. And then he takes off on his skates. And he goes and de-pantses Blaine. And that makes Jack Black go into hysterics. Like, I've never seen Jack Black laugh, like, so hard. And, you know, I bet he's never laughed
out.
That hard in his
yeah.
life.
Everybody wigs out. Shit hits the fan. You know, it's just everybody completely overreacts.
Oh.
Blaine overreacts.
Oh, my goodness.
And
yeah.
There's this big, giant chase scene. And just, it's a big to-do. And
oh, my goodness.
That's the turning point. For
yeah.
Mitchell.
Well, right. It was the time where he actually took initiative and he did something other than just being this, lazy guy who claims like...
He's the laid-back California surfer dude.
No,
I know,
toast.
But like even California surfer dudes fight each other.
Right. I mean, he said something along the line that he had done that sort of thing before and it wasn't getting him worth getting involved.
That was the stuff that got skipped.
Right, the first time.
Because it was all about him being, you know, him attacking some guy on a surfboard and stuff like that.
Right, he's learned his lesson.
Not to ever do that again. And now he de-pantses the guy. So apparently he didn't learn his lesson too badly. But he ends up leaving. Before he does that, he was trying to tell his Nikki about the dream, you know, while people are waiting to, like, there's a lot of waiting in this freaking movie. but
he was being chased around, but they kindly stopped so that he could talk to her for a couple minutes before chasing him again.
Yeah.
Right.
That was very nice of them.
It was very nice. Very convenient.
Yeah, it was just like the bus that waited for Nikki, you know. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. I've not done my speech yet.
Public transportation does not wait for you if you're too busy yakking.
Right. I mean, but they didn't even know. She wasn't even, in the area where the bus would be there. But she's here sitting there just chit-chatting with Mitch. And walks up and, the bus just waits, lets her get on, and then leaves.
Let's face it. Pretty girls run the universe. Wouldn't wait for me. Wouldn't wait for you.
Might wait for Jen.
Would wait for Jen.
You know, but wouldn't wait for us. All right. Anyway, moving on. So basically, he gets home, and there's a knock on the door. And they see Wiley opens it up, and it's all the guys minus Jack. I guess Jack
the first
still
villain.
Was not Jack Black, but Jack the jock. Yeah. Just doesn't want any, still was mad at him, whatever.
It was Snake. Jack Black's character, the twins.
The right. Twins.
The hockey twins.
The hockey twins, who always wear a hockey jersey.
Flyers, too, by the way.
I think they do that literally. I was, thinking about it for a while, and I know I talked about it before, but I think that they wear that jersey so that you know that those guys are the twins.
Right.
Even though you can't – it's not like you can't tell, but, you know, whatever.
And, of course, like I said, they're wearing Philadelphia Flyers jerseys because there are no hockey teams in Cincinnati.
That's got to be it. So, anyway, so they end up...
Well, this is the dumbest... Well, I think...
It's ridiculously stupid.
I just thought you had to pause for that.
Well, because then I'm remembering the I'm Too Sexy scene.
That is one of the dumbest scenes,
the whole getting dressed scene, of course, playing Right Said Fred just fits in with that group there. But when they show up and the aunt says hi to them and they just sort of stare at each other. I mean, these are awkward guys that Wiley apparently has told his mom about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was weird. I always wondered about that.
You're his little playmates, aren't you? His little playmates. Would you like some grape Kool-Aid?
Oh, yeah, the grape Kool-Aid. And
the way she said Kool-Aid was perfect.
I know.
Kool-Aid.
We're going to make some caramel corn. Break out the oleo.
But I did like how all of these guys were, you know, with the grape Kool-Aid, they stop and then they're like, no, ma'am. Very polite.
Yeah.
Polite young men there. No, ma'am. And then they go and find...
Well, I think it was really funny because they said, you know, she said, Wiley's talked about you guys. They all look around like, has he been talking bad about us? Like, we kind of like, you know...
You think? Why would they do that since they've been tormenting him 99% of the film?
Right? Yeah. Why would she say nice... Well, I mean, obviously he'd say nice things because he doesn't want his mom to worry. But like... In the same sense, they know what he whatever. So anyway, so it looks awkward. They call Mitchell to come and to come see them.
You have the stare down,
and then
yay! We love you.
We love you.
They actually pick him up. At
they
one
pick
point.
Him up.
It's ridiculous.
And hoist him up for de-pantsing the one guy. Something that they could have done on their own. That they, I don't know why they didn't. They're the ones who do all the pranks and shit. But they were like, oh my God, the new guy, de-pantsed him.
So funny.
That's great.
So basically, one of the reasons they're letting him in, though, is because they say they're gonna have the final showdown with the other group of villains because they're going to have a skate race
on what was it, Devil's Backbone. And he's going to be one of the guys there. So
winner takes all.
Yeah. And that's where the last 20 minutes of the movie goes.
There are no rules.
20 minutes, literally, like 20 minutes. It keeps going. This is the longest, like, downhill racing.
And it's actually the best part of the film, if you ask me. There's a lot of cool stunts that are done there for the skating. And I can see, really, that's where the whole movie was written, was to set up this whole stunt thing. And that's where Rob Bowman, as a professional director, came in and comes in very handy in setting things up. Because there was a lot of difficult shots there. I'm not going to lie.
So we can talk about the stunts real quick, and the stunts and choreography. Because the stunts and choreography in that scene, like, were far better than any. And now, there's really cool stunts throughout the whole movie, you know, like from very beginning to the middle to the end. There's just it's filled with great stunts.
I would have to say for the time.
Well, yeah, I mean, nowadays people look at this and probably go, "But that's not."
Well, nowadays they probably do it all on green screen.
I don't know. I've seen some YouTube videos. People do some pretty amazing things but nowadays.
It's not just the skates though. It's skaters, but they use a lot of moving vehicles and different sizes of moving vehicles. They're all going around twists and turns, going down.
Freaking, you know, moving vehicle.
There's some complicated stuff going on there. And like I was saying, I remember making a comment during the film that I would not be one of the guys responsible for having to have to do that, because there's a lot of liability involved in that, and you really need to know what you're doing and have a professional stunt coordinator do all this properly. Somebody could really get hurt.
Oh yeah, especially a lot of the cars driving by in front of them.
Right, and I can't tell if it's always Mitchell who's doing his own stunts, but he does quite a lot of leaping and jumping and going from platform to platform and. There's some pretty good stunts there, I have to say. That's the best part of the film.
Yeah, I would agree that the last 20 minutes, like, if they had just made that part, you know, and, like, a little bit of the story, it might have been a good movie.
Well, yeah, if they had spent more time on the first half of the film building up to it, it would have been better.
Yeah. But, yeah, so we get the ending, basically. And it was kind of lackluster ending, because, like, okay, so you see Mitchell and Jack, not Jack Black, but Jack the Jock, are, like, right next to each other, right? And they give Jack gives Mitchell a look, like, I'm still not your friend, you know, and I'm, you know, whatever, we're racing, you know? And so they go on, and Mitchell is, like, I don't know, he's far behind, it seems. And, like, how does he know where to go? Like, has he...
Well, this isn't one path, either, that we're fought.
It's all this twisted thing. They go over bridges and downstairs, and, you know, it's kind of ridiculous. How does Mitchell even know where the hell he's going? He doesn't live there.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought he was following people, and then I was following the wrong person. I thought he was somebody else.
Right. And at one point he stops and he's looking at a bus because the bus is California on there, and he starts daydreaming about it. And then he sees the others going past him, and that's when he decides to make the big jump. And he jumps in, and it turns out some people have already beaten him there, but they need the first three of each group.
Yeah.
So he's there with Jack, and Blaine is in between them. And of course, Blaine, being the worst villain of the villain groups, tries to do a dick move and push Mitchell out of the way. And instead, Mitchell stops and lets him go past him. And he goes over the rail and into the river. And then it's just... And then Jack had fallen down. So Mitchell goes over. And that's when they have their sort of moment of reconciliation. He's like, here, let me help you up. And
then they're like, yeah, let's do this. Let's do this. And then they go off and...
They win. And then he hugs Nikki, and then that's how it ends. Sort of like not glossing over the whole fact that he's still leaving in 3 months.
We're not even explaining anything else, like what's going to happen afterwards. I mean, you know, like, I guess we don't need to know, and it's not... Doesn't really matter.
Although,
but, like,
Wiley does show up and gets a smooch from Gloria.
Because he tries. He ends
he's
up...
trying.
Well, him and they end up in this sort of, like,
truck
race themselves.
Hyena
and they
laugh
both
guy.
Fall, and they both get truck to the finish line, and then they decide to race each other across it. And
which is funny because, like, you know,
Wiley becomes part of the group,
right?
Right,
in spite of himself.
And poor Jack Black got like narded, like he got like hit in the nuts, and then you never see him again. I don't think.
And of course, you can't have a teen movie like, without getting somebody, you know, clunked in the nuts. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, so you don't see him again. He's, you know, and understandably, he got knocked in the nuts. He's not going to do that. So, okay, I guess we talked about a lot of stuff. We talked about a little bit of cinematography and direction, especially toward the end. So the rest of the movie was not done.
It's like two different movies, really. The 20 minutes ending was much, much better than the first 40.
Yeah.
45.
So, funny lines. What do you guys think of funny lines? Like, were there anything that stuck out to you?
I don't know. I guess the thing I remembered is the mother, or you know, or the aunt always calling Uncle Louie father. That just really creeped me out.
I like that he keeps calling everybody bra.
Yeah.
And that pisses Jack Black off.
Pisses me off, too.
Yeah, like, he's like, do you just call you a piece of underwear? Like, he doesn't even say women's underwear. He just says underwear.
Come at me, bra. What's up, bra?
Yeah.
And that's the only word that he does in a really stereotypical California accent.
Right.
The rest of it, it's slight, but that one is real extreme. If it had been more of that stereotype, it would have made more sense, but it really made the bra stand out as very awkward
and weird. Yeah,
very weird.
And there's nothing worse than an awkward bra.
Let me tell you, that's true. I'll tell you about experience.
Oh Lord.
Some of my lines are better than the ones
in this film. I'll be honest.
Well, it's bad because there were several moments that were like, "Oh, is that what was said?" Because we just sort of blanked out. It's almost like some of the lines were just unimportant.
For a comedy, it wasn't very funny.
No,
like,
no.
I don't know. Like, it's hard to write comedy. It really is, and this definitely shows that the screenwriter, aka, you know, I guess he's just as lazy as a screenwriter as he is as a teacher.
and the thing is, too, is that, you know, this gets back to some of the other episodes where we've talked about character development. There really isn't a whole lot of character development for Mitchell at all. It's not like he grows, you know. He's pretty much the same guy from beginning to end. The only one that really changes is Wiley.
Yep.
Wiley, yeah.
I still like him.
Wiley should have been the main character.
I would think so, too. And Seth Green's just a better actor. I mean, sorry.
Yeah,
Seth Green's a better actor. And, you know, Shane McDermott had done, like, a few things. I looked him up, and he had done, like, a few things, you know. I think he had done, like, two other things after this. But I guess he just decided to move on and not pursue acting, which is probably a good choice, honestly.
Yeah, he would have been better as a supporting guy, and they could have focused more on his stunt ability and his ability to skate and left Seth Green to do the heavy lifting with the acting and the character development.
I won't lie, though, it was really cool, like, I mean, for that dude to be, like, in a movie, like, have him, like, that's great, man. Like, I would love to be a lead in a movie, right? You know, and everything.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So, rollerblading.
Yeah, I should go rollerblading and maybe somebody will find me.
We could put you in the next Roller Gator movie.
No. Don't do that. All right, well, okay, so rating.
All right,
this is going to be a weird one. I feel like. Because we're going to do our stinkometer.
Stinkometer, yep. Stinkometer. And the higher the number, the stinkier it is. You know, I've seen stinkier films, but I'm giving this a 6. Because this still has some stink attached to it.
What do you say,
Jen? I was thinking the same thing as 6 because, you know, it was filmed not like... All the technical stuff was well done, but the story itself was bland and boring. And even if you try and put yourself in the mindset of, okay, now this is a teen movie, that's why there's not all these adults around, I still think it was a fairly boring movie with that. And, I mean, the stunts in the scene at the end was cool, but it still kind of it dragged on. Well, it dragged on.
Right.
Long.
Yeah, it's like 20 minutes. I mean, that's way too long. I mean, if they had cut that scene down, and they could have, like, I mean, you wouldn't have known if they cut it down. There was a lot of, I mean, I understand they have a lot to show, and that could have been a deleted scene. But back then, they didn't know that you can cut things and then put them in deleted scenes. But I guess we're all going to hell because we gave it a 6, 6, and 6.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. How about that?
Yeah, so it's the devil.
Well, obviously, I'm going to hell for a lot of different reasons, so let's add one more in my case. Doesn't matter. But no, a six is probably good. It's fairly stinky.
I mean, it is a fairly stinky movie, but it's not as bad as, like, it could very well have been.
Right.
And they tried to make a good A movie. I mean, if they just got a better actor as the main guy, like, I don't know who was big back then in the 90s, early 90s. Jonathan Brandis was big then.
Yeah.
They got him. He wouldn't have probably done it.
Even if they had gotten that guy, though, I think it had the writer spent more time polishing up the first two-thirds of the film, it would have been a stronger film.
Mm-hmm. Or even the beginning of the film needed some, you know, like, yeah, all of it. Beginning, middle, and somewhat end, and like they could have cut out some of the ending.
And I know it's Hollywood sort of changed after the late 80s when they decided they weren't going to spend $1 million on actual professional writers to write movie scripts anymore. But this is the reason why you do that. This is why you get a professional writer who knows what they're doing and can do character development and make a movie within the confines of a, you know, 120-minute or 100-minute film and do it properly, okay? That's why you have people like that. So.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. And tune in. I'm not sure when we're going to do another one, but.
Oh, we should be doing it pretty soon. At this point, I do want to point out that our indie film review website is up. And I want to send a shout out to Tina and the Helper Monkeys for getting that together for us. So,
yay!
If you go to https://indiefilmcafe.reviews, you can go there. You can see all our links to our podcasts, and that's the podcast on Podbean and on iTunes and on Player FM and on Stitcher. You're also, there's a link to our YouTube channel, so go and see some of our videos. You can see my stinky movie review page. We have a stinkometer scoreboard. Jonathan Moody has his personal webpage there. And then Just Jen has her cooking blog. So please feel free to visit all of these things and send us reviews. You can contact us too. So send us in some, you know, some positive reviews or some negative reviews or some comments, whatever you want to say. But
suggestions.
Well, definitely come check it out.
Well, we have also have the Facebook page.
Yep.
And what else?
Twitter.
Do we have Instagram?
Instagram, absolutely.
Are we doing Instagram?
Yeah.
We got Instagram.
Okay. So. Are we posting anything?
We posted some stuff before. We need to get back on that, I guess.
Yeah.
It's my fault.
Well, we're kind of slacking off. But yeah, we'll be doing another movie soon. Yeah. So
then we have Patreon.
Right. And I think I'd like to do a little video kind of showing off our new studios. Because remember, we said we have new studio space now. So I'd like to do one where we're sort of showing off our new digs here. Because we plan to do a lot more stuff in the future. And hopefully you guys can be a part of it.
All righty. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. And hope you guys enjoyed it. All right. Have a good one.
Bye. See you. Bye.